if you're like most people, you have those days when it just seems like nothing goes right. Everything just seems to fall apart. And what happens is you tend to have day after day after day like that. And then all of a sudden, you don't even look forward to the next day. You sit back and you wonder, how am I going to have strength for the day? I need strength for the journey, and it's just not there. Well, if that's ever been you, I just want to encourage you to grab your Bible, turn it to Deuteronomy chapter 33, and we'll be back in just a minute to discuss that. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your day is going well and that your new year is off and rolling just fine. Don't forget those New Year's resolutions that you made. Hopefully they were good, godly ones. A moment ago, I mentioned the fact that we all tend to have those times when times are tough, you know, when just things just don't seem to be working out right, and it just wears you down. It beats you down to the point where not only do you not think you're going to make it through the day or the next day, you just begin to wonder, you know, if the next thing is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Well, I want to encourage you today that God is the one who will give us strength for the journey. And we find that illustrated over in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Now, as we get to this particular point in the scriptures, one of the things we have to understand is we're still talking about God's people. They still haven't exactly gotten to the promise, and they've gotten there, but they haven't gone in yet. And these folks have been delivered. Now, I want us to remember all the way back when we started our series on the Exodus that the delivered people are about to enter the promised land. Now, when I call them delivered people, I'm saying that they were delivered by the blood of the Passover. You remember that when they had to put the blood on the doorpost and the header of their home so that the death angel would pass by. They were led safely through the Red Sea when they felt like their back was against the wall. They felt like there was no place that they could go. And man, just God showed up. And that's really what I want to express to you today, is that you may be in that feeling right now where you feel like you need delivered. You don't feel like there's any way out in your circumstances and your situations. I just want to promise you today, God is the one who was the deliverer for Israel back in the days when they were in slavery to Egypt, and he is still the deliverer for you and I today. And as we look at this particular example, this is a great picture of believers today. Think about it. You and I are delivered by the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. He is the one who delivers us. When we get our backs against the wall, just like when Israel had their backs against the wall at the Red Sea, God made a way. It wasn't a way that man would have thought possible. It wasn't a way that somebody said, oh, well, let's just go through the Red Sea. It was something that God showed up in the middle of the circumstance and in the middle of the situation and made happen that was completely beyond anything that man could ever conjure up in his mind. And God is still in that business today. In the midst of your trials and in the midst of your situations, I want to promise you today that God will give you not only strength for the day, but he will give you strength for the journey. Now, as we get to this particular point, Moses has given some last words to his people. They're words of not only warning, but they are words of promise. We saw that so many times throughout Israel's journey that God would tell them, say, look, if you're faithful and you do things right, you're going to be blessed. If you get goofy and start going astray and doing things that you shouldn't be doing, then I'm going to have to get your attention. I'll have to punish you. And we saw that repeatedly with Israel, not only on their journey to the promised land, but even once they got to the promised land. And sometimes people sit back and say, well, there's a bunch of knuckleheads, or as Moses called them, stiff-necked people. Now, he was right when he called them that, but you know what? They're no different than you and I. We're the same way. When we look back at our lives, and particularly, we seem to see that better in the lives of others than we do in our own lives. But the bottom line is, we're the same way. We get caught in that same vicious cycle that Israel did. So Moses has given them some last words of not only warning, but also promises of God. And that's what I want to share with you today. I want to give you a promise that God has given us. And I want you to hold on to this promise not only today, not only this week, not only this year, but for the rest of your life. So just bear with me. I'll give it to you in just a moment. But Moses is preparing them for the promised land. And what he's doing is he has given some assurance to Asher for all of his days, the days that would lie ahead for him. And Moses was letting him know what things were going to be like. So you got to remember that Moses, he got to see the promised land. He didn't get to enter it because of his disobedience when he was supposed to speak to the rock, and yet he struck the rock. That's the second time. Remember, the first time God did tell him to strike the rock. And when he did, the water came out. Well, they were in that same situation once again. And then what happened was, God told him, speak to the rock, and he was disobedient. He struck the rock. And although God supplied the people's need of water, it was a critical mistake for Moses at that point, because God said, you're not going to be allowed to enter into the promised land. He said, I'll let you see it, but you're not going to be able to go into it. So now he's preparing his people to be able to enter into the promised land. After that 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, all those that the Lord said, you're going to die in the wilderness, had died, and they're getting ready to embark on that journey into the promised land. And I just want us to deal with one verse today. And that one verse actually comes out of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. And it's just one verse. And this is what I want us to hold on to today. But Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25 says this: your sandals shall be iron and bronze. As your days, so shall your strength be. Did you get that? As your days, so shall your strength be. Let's pray together as we begin today. Father, I thank you again for this opportunity to be able to open your word, and Lord, for us to be able to gather around it, that we might draw close to you. Lord, I pray that in all that is said and done, we truly would magnify you today. Lord, as we embark on this new year, I pray that we will embrace it anew, that Lord, as your word tells us, we will forget the things behind us, and that we will consider the things that lie ahead of us. Father, as we have failed in the past, I pray that you will give us that new hope for tomorrow. And Lord, give us strength for the journey. Bless this, your servant, for these moments. And Lord, I just pray that you will use me to speak to your people in a way that will be profound in their lives, as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I love that that particular verse in verse 25, and particularly when he gets down to that last statement. But notice he said, as your sandals shall be iron and bronze. And this is the part right here. As your days, so shall your strength be. Consider that for a moment. As your days. Asher may have difficulties that were going to lie ahead. I'm sure that he did. You and I are going to have difficulties that are going to lie ahead of us. There are going to be days of toil. There are going to be days of trials. There are going to be days of temptation. There are going to be tears that are going to come along with that particular journey. But yet God gives a promise. He gave that promise to Asher, and he gives that promise to you and I today. And what is the promise? This is a promise for every occasion that happens in our lives. Let me carry you back to that verse. Notice what he says. It says, as for your days, so shall your strength be. Did you get that? In other words, he's saying, I am the one who is going to be your strength. I am the one who will give you the strength for the journey. I'm the one that will carry you day by day. I'll carry you through the toils, through the trials, through the temptations, and through the tears. I will be the one that will get you through those. He gives us this promise for every occasion, not just some occasions, not just some of those circumstances, but everything that lies ahead of us. God knows what the future is, and he's always known it from the foundation of the world. That's hard for us to wrap our minds around. I think sometimes we have trouble fathoming that, particularly when we're in circumstances and situations, and in our mind, because we don't know what the future is, we tend to think that God doesn't know what the future is. And you have to remember that from the foundations of the world, according to his word, he has known and numbered each and every one of our days. He knows the secrets. You know, he knows. He was the one who had the kingdom prepared, according to Matthew chapter 25. You know, according to the book of Revelation, he was the lamb that was slain. You know, he's the one who talks about persecution in Luke chapter 11. Of the believers, and for all these years, those who have believed, those who have followed the Lord, have gone through these different sorts and different types of persecutions. But folks, here's the bottom line. God knows the future. He knows my future. He knows your future. And he's always known that from the foundation of the earth. Nothing is hidden from God. Do you understand me when I say that? There's not a single thing that is hidden from God. He knows everything. He is everything. If you think you're hiding around with something, or that there's some area of your life or some sin or something that he doesn't know, he knows you. He knows every bit of who you are. He created you, and he created you as you are. But the bottom line is, are you following him? Are you being one of his children? Now, I know that this time of the year, this is a time when people will make New Year's resolutions, because that's a big thing to do. And I'm not against New Year's resolutions one single bit, but I will say this. If you're going to make a New Year's resolution, particularly in the spiritual line, so often people will sit back and say, well, you know what? I didn't do such a good job last year. I want to do a better job this year. I want my devotional life to be better. I want to spend more time with the Lord and reading his word. I want to spend more time with him in prayer. Listen, if you're going to make one of those resolutions, then I pray that you will purpose to keep it. You know, the next couple of weeks are going to be critical. That's usually when the New Year's resolutions trail off. That's usually when they start to fall behind, and you, all of a sudden you go back to the way that you were because you didn't purpose to do it. So, folks, I'm asking and praying right now that if you make one of those spiritual New Year's resolutions, that you will purpose with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might to fulfill the promises that you have made to the Father. You know, be that better person. Be that one who is spending more time in prayer. Be that one who is spending more time in his word. And I promise you, it's not going to be a chore or a task for you. The more you do that, the more the Lord opens up to you, the more that you'll want to spend that time with him. Now remember, he already knows where you are. He already knows what's going on. There's not a single thing in this world that is hidden from God. Now, when we go back and we consider that verse 25 of our text once again, God also knows the limits of our strength. Now, sometimes we don't think that. You know, he knows this in order to equip us for each and every day. And not only that, the Lord also knows what our breaking point is. You know, we've heard that expression over the years, the expression, the straw that broke the camel's back, even though it was not that much weight, even though it was light. There comes a point where there is a breaking point of everything, including a human being. And God knows exactly where that is for you and I. Now, sometimes we don't think he does, because we think about the stresses that we go through. We think about the hurts and the heartaches and the pressures, and we just feel like we can't make it. We feel like we can't get one foot in front of the other, and we sit back, and somebody in our life often will come and say to us, well, the Lord knows exactly how much we can take, and he's not going to push us beyond that particular limit. Now, I want to say this. That is true. But if you're like I am, you've been in situations and points before where you're sitting back and you say a prayer like, Lord, I know you're not going to put anything on me that I can't handle, but buddy, I sure wish you would recalculate the load factor, because this thing is heavy. Every one of us have been there in our lives. Each and every day, there are times and circumstances that we may even run into those type things, and we begin to wonder, hey, is God there? I want to promise you, God truly is there. All these things are to teach you something, to bring you closer to him, to equip you for not only the day that you're in, but for the days that lie ahead. God knows what our breaking point is, and he's not going to push us past that. So we've got to keep that in mind. When somebody says that to you and says, well, God's not going to put anything on you that you can't handle, most often we go, I'll tell you one thing, I'm having trouble believing that right now, because I'm this close, just this close to just being a total breakdown. Well, folks, God knows that. He knows where you are. He knows what our breaking point is, and he is not going to allow anything to go beyond what that breaking point is. I can make you that promise. Now, how can I make you that promise? Because his word makes that promise for us. So it's not my promise to you, it's God's promise to you. He's not going to allow you to go beyond the breaking point. He knows those days when you feel like you are at the end of your rope or at the end of yourself. He knows those days when you are tired. He knows those days when you're nervous. He knows those days when you're bewildered. He knows those days when you're tempted. He knows those days when you're discouraged. He knows those days when you are near giving up because you don't think that you can put one foot in front of the other. You know, satanic opposition and oppression does occur to God's children. Now, notice this. I said satanic oppression. I didn't say possession. Now, I've often had that question in my years of ministry, and people say, well, can a person who's a believer be possessed? The answer to that question is no, because, well, let me go back. You can't be demon-possessed, and the reason you can't be demon-possessed is because as a believer, you are already possessed by the Holy Spirit, and he's not going to share his house with anybody. So now, keeping that in mind, you cannot be, as a believer, possessed by Satan, but you can be oppressed by him. He can oppose you on everything that you can do, and he can create matters in life that just make your life difficult. That's what he can do. So make sure you understand the difference between those things. And let me tell you this, that is something else that God knows. God knows the satanic oppression and the satanic opposition that is coming and that is present in your life right now. He knows what that is. You can carry that to him. But best of all, you know what? Sometimes we sit back and say, oh, well, somebody knows the facts, but usually there's something that's more than the facts that becomes more important to us. And you know what that is? That's the fact that not only does God know about it, but God cares. It matters to him. It matters to him when you're stressed out. It matters to him when you are hurting. It matters to him when you feel like you're at the end of your rope. He cares for you because he's got you on a journey. Man, that's great. That is great news to think about when you're in the middle of those circumstances and situations, is that God truly, truly does care. And not only does God care, God compensates for our weakness with his strength. Now, notice what I said. I didn't say your strength. I said his strength. I said he compensates for our weakness with his strength. That's what verse 25 is telling us as well. You know, promises of strength for the weak, we read throughout the Bible. Think about it in this way. In Psalm 27, it says, he shall strengthen thine heart. That's what he tells us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, he shall renew their strength. Mm-hmm. If you're in the midst of a weak time right now, these should be passages that are very, very encouraging to you. How about Isaiah 41:10, where he says, I will strengthen thee. I'm the one who will give you the strength to put one foot in front of the other. I will give you the strength to get through the circumstances and get through the situations. His strength is sufficient for all that we face. You know, Philippians 4:13, what does it say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, I'm also reminded of Paul when he was talking about God's grace when he was dealing with the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. You know, and basically what he says is that when he finds that he is at his weakest point, that's when he finds that he is strongest in God. Sometimes we have to be to the point where we can't do anything else before we turn it over to God. Now, that's not what he wants. He wants us to give it to him anyway. But don't get to that point where you've got to be just on the flat of your back, that the only place that you can look is up for his help. God says anything that's coming along, the oppressions, the nervousness, all those other things, he says, give them to me. I'll take care of them. Remember what the Bible tells us. It says, cast all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So God compensates for our weakness with his strength. You know, take his strength each day by faith. Now, remember that. What is the definition of faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We need to build our faith. Our faith needs to be strengthened. You know, there's so many times, and I can still recall that time in the Bible where one of his disciples said, Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. I mean, sometimes there are things that we have trouble wrapping our minds around, but we just have to remember and trust God that he is all in all. Listen, if he created the world and he created the bodies that we're in and he created all these things around us, certainly he's not having that Malox moment over your issue. And when I say that, I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't care, because obviously he does. But what I'm saying is it's not beyond his control. It's not beyond, you know, him just being able to snap a finger and fix it. And we've got to remember he loves us and he wants to work within us, but he wants us to be strengthened in our faith. He wants us to be strengthened in his grace. And he wants us to realize that his strength is truly sufficient for all that we face. You're not going to be able to do it in and of yourself. I will make you that promise. If you're trying to face these things head on by yourself and you're trying to handle them, I promise they're going to take you out. But if you turn them over to God, the one who loves you, the one that cares for you, the one that you say you trust, if you turn those over to him, then his strength is going to be what will be sufficient for everything that you will face in your life, not only now, but going forward. I love those passages that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But did you notice the caveat there? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, not in and of yourself, but through him. So as we consider this one simple verse, as we consider Moses prepping the children of Israel to enter into the promised land, there are some things that we need to consider. And first of all, we need to consider the cross. Think about when Christ went to that cross. Think about the pain that he went through. Maybe you're going through some pain right now. Think about the pain that Christ endured on the cross. Think about the mocking. Now, some people, their constitution is weak. I see people all the time in this day and age that they have a weak constitution because somebody made fun of them or somebody said something to them, and specifically about being a Christian person or taking that biblical stance as they should, and they've been mocked, okay? Well, think about the mocking that Jesus took. Think about the things they said to him. I mean, they blindfolded him, and when they would slap him or when they would whip him, they would tell him, they'd say, oh, well, you know, prophesy. Tell us who it was that struck you, you know, if you're who you say you are. Well, remember what happened at the cross. They were saying, if you're who you say you are, you know, one of the thieves on the cross actually said, save yourself and save us too. So everybody was trying to tempt and to test, and they mocked Jesus. And you know this. Most of you that are listening to my voice and you're part of this Bible study today, this is not new news to you. You've heard these things. So when you find yourself in those situations of being in pain or somebody mocking you, just remember what Jesus went through for you and I. Think about the scorn that was placed upon him in the midst of all this. And here's the difference. The difference is he was perfectly innocent and you and I are not. So he took it all for you and I. You see, our trials are small in comparison with what Jesus did for us. They're just a little speck, one grain of sand on all of the beaches of the sea compared to what Jesus took on and went through for you and I. And you know what? All of this agony he took upon himself for one reason, and that was because he loves us. He loves you, and he loves me. That's the only reason. You know, I've said this many times before, particularly when somebody says, well, you know what, I'm not worth anything, and they're really having a struggle with who they are. And I've said, I want you to ponder this thought for just a moment. And the thought is simply this. If you were the only person on the face of this earth, Jesus Christ still would have gone to Calvary's cross. He still would have suffered, the wrath of the persecution, the whipping. He still would have done all that just for you. Now, I know some of you are sitting back going, well, that wouldn't happen if you were the only person on the face of this planet, but you understand what I'm saying. He did it individually for you and I. He wants us to have a personal walk, a personal relationship with him, not a religious system. Now, I know a lot of people would probably get upset if they heard me say that. God's not looking for religious people. He's looking for born-again people. He's looking for people who are going to trust him. He's looking for people who want to walk with him and walk by his side throughout this whole life's journey and then off into eternity to be there with him. Is that you? Is that the way you are? Have you asked God to give you strength for your journey? Are you being able to put up with the pain and the mocking and the scorn and the trials and the temptations? Remember, they're just small. They pale in comparison to what Jesus did for you and I. And then not only do we need to remember the cross, I still think about it, and I've shared with my church before that I still remember when I was in undergraduate school that I had to write a gospel tract. And man, I really thought I did a good job with that. I put a lot of hard work and effort and energy, and I thought it was creative in so many ways. And I still remember when the professor handed that back. I was excited. You know, I kind of felt like, you know, Ralphie in the Christmas Story when he was getting his essay back and what he thought he was going to get. And I got about the same thing Ralphie got. I failed, essentially, the assignment. And I was upset. I mean, I was like, there's no way. That was good. I did good work. Well, then I turned over to the back and where the professor had written in there. He said, man, he said, you did a great job talking about the death of Christ. And you talked about essentially the fact that he was buried. But he said, you left out one of the key elements and the key ingredients in the salvation story. And he said, you left out the resurrection. You didn't even say anything about the resurrection. And without the resurrection, there would be no salvation. He said, without the resurrection, Jesus would simply be just like all the other great teachers of the past. But the resurrection is what changes it. Through the resurrection, he conquered sin, death, and hell. And he did that for you and I. And he wrote in that note at the bottom of it. He said, my God is not still in the grave. He had resurrected. So not only do you and I need to remember the cross, we also need to remember the resurrection. I have never forgotten to include that from that day that I wrote that tract until this day, particularly when we're discussing salvation. Yet the resurrection is a source of our strength through Jesus Christ. Resurrection power, you've probably heard about it, you've probably sung about it. The resurrection power is sufficient for all of my needs and sufficient for all of your needs. So I want to take you back to the question that I asked you in the very beginning when we were about to start our Bible study. Do you feel like that you're at a circumstance or a position where you're just like, I'm at the end of my rope? I don't feel like I can make it through today. I'm about ready to give up. Is that you today? I hope and pray that it's not. But if it is, then I'm going to ask you this question. Can you believe what the Lord told us when he said he gave us the simple fact of the matter that his grace is sufficient for each and every one of us? And his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Man, what about that? Yeah, is that you? Can you turn it over to him today? Can you sit back and say, Lord, you know what? You know, I'm a mess right now, and I don't feel like I can make it. I feel like there truly is going to be that straw that breaks the camel's back. But Lord, I will say this, no matter what happens and no matter what takes place, I'm going to rely on you to give me strength for the day. Can you do that today? Yeah, if that's you, simply bow your head where you are and say, Lord, you know what? I'm a mess right now, but I need strength for the day. I need your strength for the journey. Lord, you know where I am, and as critical as it may be, you know my breaking point. Help me, Father, to always remember that and to always remember that you love me more than anything. So right now, Lord, I just pray that in a very special way, you will bless each and every person. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, folks, I hope and trust that as you have taken that moment to adjust yourself and to basically prepare yourself as you come into this new year, and maybe you're just so burdened right now that you wonder if anybody cares. Well, let me give you some words of encouragement. Jesus cares. He knows and he cares, and he wants to deliver you. When you feel like you are at that breaking point, the one thing that you must remember is simply this: he is with you, and he is not going to allow things to go any further in a way that would break you down, and rather than teaching you and drawing you close to him. So just remember that as you embrace this particular new year. Let me just have a word of prayer with you, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Father, you're good to us. I come to you now praising you and thanking you for the fact that you give us encouraging words, that you won't leave us nor forsake us, that you're there in our times of need. Lord, I just pray and ask right now that you would bless each and every person. Father, specifically those that are going through some tough trials right now, and they feel like they're at that breaking point. Lord, I just ask that you would just give them an extra portion of your grace. Lord, whisper encouragement into their hearts right now. That Lord, in the tough times, those are the times that you truly are carrying them through the situations and circumstances. So, Lord, right now, I pray that you'll give us a great year. Give us a great opportunity to serve you as we begin this new year. And we'll just thank you so much and praise you for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, folks. Listen, I want to thank you again for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you don't have a church home, we would love for you to come visit us at Central. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you're familiar with the area, we are right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. Now, the Oak Ridge Military Academy is kind of sits at the corner of Highway 68 and 150. All right, just across Highway 68, you'll find Central Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us. Our services start at 10:45 on Sunday morning, and I would look forward to seeing you and welcoming you as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth this coming Sunday. God bless you. Have a great rest of your week.